Hey everyone, this is Thomas chiming in from the editing booth. Just want to let you all know, in case you missed it, that we do have the explicit tag on this episode. We were just being more of our casual selves while we hang out and answer your lovely questions. So we were a little bit more lax with our language. And yeah, just wanted to let you all know ahead of time. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Perfect.
Cool.
One take.
Welcome back, everybody.
They're just staring at my lips, trying to see what I'm going to say.
To the Common Ground Podcast.
Yay! Your favorite podcast where we talk about Popper. But it is episode 20, so since y'all have gotten a little bit of time to listen to us, you must like us somewhat. So we did a mailbag episode. We did a calling for questions. And, you know, I think we got inspired. We got a few questions already, and we're like, let's just throw them into a mailbag, and then we could answer all the questions in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. We can listen to y'all.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of.
Yeah, sure. Something like that. So I think we're just going to go one by one, answer some questions. Yeah. I think this, I didn't read them. I wanted to be shocked when I saw them. So I think this ranges from like magic to not magic. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about the spectrum of everything.
Yeah. That's on my,
magic,
you know,
to not magic.
Crazy. I have a question for y'all.
What's that? Wait, but who are you?
My name's Cameron Schindler. I am your host. Thank you. Who am I? I had a joke, but I am joined as always by my two lovely, lovely co-hosts who posted some sexy pictures on Twitter today. Mm. Thomas Gunn.
That's me. Just a goofy guy.
I saw the picture in the river. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, you can censor that. That's a word. Yeah. No, that was a photogenic picture too.
Thank you.
And joined by my other beautiful co-host, Mr. Hippopotamus. Hippo fact, but for later?
Let's do hippo fact now.
Okay. You pull it up. All right. You had some beef with this hippo fact.
Hello, everyone.
I didn't even ask you. I'm sorry. That was mean.
This was sent in from our good friend Jay, friend of the show. It was unceremoniously ignored on March 23rd, supposedly.
A day that will live in infamy.
That will live in infamy. And the fact is, hippos are the third largest mammals on planet Earth. So, I have umbrage with this question. Hippos are the third largest land mammals on planet Earth, is the actual fact.
Okay.
Because correct. Whales exist.
Yeah, that's correct.
So what's...
Like, the three... If you went just mammals, like, whales win the first three easy.
But I think whales is one category.
No, because blue whale and then...
But I'm not talking about, like, blue hippos, red hippos.
The humpback whale. No, the sperm whale is after blue whale.
Have you ever seen a blue whale
these
before?
These are... I've seen the skeleton of one in a museum.
Oh, that's cool.
It's massive. They're the biggest animal period ever to have been on planet Earth.
I think I'm like
that is not true.
That is true. The blue whale is the largest to have ever been on planet Earth. Even bigger than like the Leopleurodon and all that crap.
Biggest what? Mammal?
Animal period.
What is the biggest animal to have ever existed?
We're getting into this.
Not Mars, Earth. I cannot type. Blue whales.
Okay. Blue whales. See, I know my stuff.
Oh yeah, hippo facts. That was a whale fact.
I thought I was about to pull out some dinosaur knowledge, and I'm willing to be wrong.
But with that being said, I'll go over Jay's first question here. If y'all are ready.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's in relation to this. Can you name the only two? I'll put in parentheses land mammals that are larger than our esteemed co-host, i.e. hippopotamuses.
A rhinoceros and a giraffe.
Incorrect. Would you like to take a guess?
Well, I can get one of them for sure.
Yes.
It's an elephant.
That's one.
Oh, I forgot those existed. Those are pretty big.
An elephant and a giraffe.
Oh.
Those are the two. I think rhinoceros are I think those are next underneath hippo.
They're slightly smaller.
Do you want me should we just go down in order from each person? Because we have a few from each.
Sure. Yeah, let's go down in the order we have them listed. Jay, we'll come back to the rest of yours.
About you enough. Yeah.
you got lots of questions to wrap up our question portion here.
It's true.
But yeah, let's Cameron, why don't you start us off with the first batch on this list?
Alrighty, we got from Rusty. We got four from you. I'll start the first one. What is your favorite card of all time? Whew. Hippo, you go first.
I'll go with Aether Vial.
Ooh, that's a good one.
If anybody who knows me as a Magic player or who has known me for a long time as a Magic player, you will know that I am a huge fan of Death and Taxes as an archetype in multiple formats. And Aether Vial is the linchpin that holds any of those archetypes together in whatever format those are legal in. That card is basically Black Lotus every single turn of the game. It gives your creature flash, and it's very, very silly. And that card is extremely powerful and does not see enough play.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Thomas, do you have an answer?
I'm going to have to give it to Dragonlord Ojutai.
Solid choice.
For those who are not familiar, it's a mythic rare from Dragons of Tarkir. It's 3 white-blue for a 5/4 dragon, a legendary elder dragon with flying. And when it has hexproof as long as it is untapped, mm-hmm. and when it deals combat damage to a player, you get to anticipate. You look at the top 3 cards of your library, you put one in your hand, put the rest on the bottom. This was an insane control finisher when I was playing Standard, when James was playing Standard back in the day during the Tarkir block.
Me too.
This was
who was the better Ojutai master between the two of us? We tested this.
Did
y'all do a mirror?
No, we did not do a mirror.
Oh,
no. Both of our decks did contain Ojutai, though.
It is true.
And
I believe I was bested.
You were.
I was.
And what format?
We did a flashback of a GP, or sorry, no, a PT. This was when Modo screwed up when they gave everybody like God accounts.
Oh.
And so we were just playing. Whoops. We were just playing. No. They gave everybody accounts on purpose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Modo
yeah.
screwed up and had like days down at a time.
As like a, hey, we're sorry. Here, you guys can have access to everything for like a week or whatever.
That's cool. They did
so
that.
So we fired up some old Standard decks of our time. And
Throwback Standard. Be fun.
We did. We chose decks from PT Dragons of Tarkir. And he chose the winning. Not the winning list, because the winning list is a mono red deck. But.
Yeah.
Shota's list, like, probably.
I think it was. It might have been. It
or
wasn't
PVs.
Manfield. No, it wasn't PV. It was. God, I can't remember. I'm not gonna go look it up now. But anyways, it was like the one true Esper Dragons list, and then there was a control list, and
And then I chose someone whose name I'll mention later, Craig Wesco's Bant Ojutai list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that surprised me. That was very good. But no, card is super sick. I have a digital painting of it that my sister did on my wall by my computer. It was the first time I like played Standard at a Grand Prix was like playing with this card. It was the first time I started seeing like real success in my like college like Magic group and really like learning how to play a control deck. And
when Magic sunk your teeth into you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
yeah,
our answer is very similar. That's cool.
Like there are a lot of like I could pick a lot of different cards. Like, you know, Nivik Cyclops was an early favorite of mine. Like any is it?
But you're starting to win
day,
now.
But like Magic's really fun
when you
get good.
Yeah, you get a groove and you're like, oh.
It's looking back. Like every time I see that card as I like, riffle through my stuff or whatever, I'm like, oh man. Like this is a banger. Like I wish it had a spot in Pioneer, but it just doesn't.
The cubes for baby.
I guess mine kind of is the same way, as that's a card that has provided me a lot of wins across many many years.
Yeah. So. Dragonlord Ojutai. What's your favorite card of all time, Cameron?
It's a Fairy 5.
Ooh, it's a solid hero one. Of Dominaria.
Both of you chose blue white cards.
Yeah. Five mana blue white cards.
This is when
five mana blue white cards.
I started getting in the Standard. And this is the Guilds of Ravnica era.
Yeah. Arguably a more powerful 5-mana Azorius control finisher.
I would agree.
Yes. At this point. So,
One of them was more fun, though.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. But I think I was playing Esper at this point, and so I guess War of a Spark would have been out, too. So
you had both?
Mm-hmm. Because Kaya's Wrath was still in there. I think it's War of a Spark.
That one was the first...
Okay,
the first
so
or second
I think
Ravnica
set it was like
that
the first
the second.
It was
Ravnica
like
set.
The second Ravnica sets come out, and that's why I'm playing this Esper control deck. And I just, it just sunk my teeth in me. I started winning
deck.
A lot more, and it wasn't like I don't think it was the best deck at all by its standard.
It was one of the
red.
Better. It was one of the better decks you could play,
and it was just like I was winning a bunch at my little 8 to 10 person FNMs. Everyone was like. Would get upset when I Teferi looped down the game because you couldn't actually win the game. Your win condition was Teferi 5 because you could exile all their permanents and Teferi could always tuck himself.
Yep.
And And don't even get me started. Plus one-ing and on your main phase, activating Search First Kanta, then untapping the Search First Kanta.
Yep. Yes.
Just like you said, it's just like that was my first control deck I ever played, and I feel like that's when I started to get. That was like one of my first major level ups in Magic, and kind of got my groove in a little bit. So that card is very fond of that, and Three Fairy, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Both are very not okay, awesome cards.
All right.
Hippo, you want the next one, number two under there? From
also from Rusty.
Yeah. So the question is, what is your favorite Popper card of all time? Thomas, would you like to give us your favorite Popper card?
Why don't you start?
Okay. So my favorite Popper card, I have mentioned it before on our top tens episode or whatever it was that we did. My favorite Popper card is absolutely Core Skyfisher.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a card just chocked full of value. It's been, it was one of the best Popper cards when I started playing Popper, and it still remains one of the best cards now. It has not changed. The card is very, very fun to play. Love that card.
Mine, to no one's surprise, is Fire Blast. Yeah. I gave this a little bit of thought. I'm like, am I going to name something else, like Synthesizer or something like that? Nah.
You're addicted to Fire Blast.
I'm literally addicted to Fire Blast. If you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know this. It's just super sick. Sacrificing Mountains, casting 4 damage for free. It's awesome. It's a really cool card.
For sure, for sure. I think mine is Experimental Synthesizer.
It's a good choice.
It's between that and Core Skyfisher. It's got to be because the two play so well together. It is just a drug of value, like you said, Hippo. Similar reasons. It's just, if it wasn't Experimental Synthesizer, I guess I'd be having fun bouncing our Battle Fists and Tithing Blades and Limbuses still. So it's not like the card would be bad at all without Synthesizer, but both together, both cards are a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A fire blast.
Fire blast. third question from Rusty to each of us. What is your favorite limited card of all time?
I got one. Okay. I don't think I've ever played a limited set more than two or three times, retail limited. We all do love Cube at this table right now, We have a great Cube group here in Nashville. It's pretty easy to get eight, so I'm very fortunate for that, because not everybody, I hear a lot of times, like, oh, everybody just wants to play Commander in my play group, and nothing wrong with
fun.
It's like the common thing, so it can be hard to get a group of eight to play Cube, and especially getting everybody's schedules to line up and all that. But anyway, Esper Zoa.
Ooh.
A 2 and a blue, 4/3 flyer. At the beginning of your upkeep, return an artifact to your hand. Itself is an artifact. Man, I just love cards that synergize with Synthesizer, because you can bounce and play Synthesizer every turn and trigger it. And I have that in my Peasant Queue, but I really want this card downshifted to common too as well. Love it.
Cool.
What about you, Big Hips?
My favorite limited card of all time. I've played more in depth limited sets, I guess, than you have.
Oh yeah.
I'm also not a huge limited person, but probably the limited format that I have dug my teeth into the most was Kaldheim. And I think the easiest card to, like, snatch somebody's attention is a card called Path of the World Tree. So it's a 1 and a green enchantment, and it says whenever it enters the battlefield, you can search your library for a basic land, reveal it, and put your hand shuffle to the library. And then it also has a costed text at the bottom, which is 2, and then Wooburg. And it says sacrifice Path of the World Tree, and it says you gain 2 life, draw 2 cards, target player loses 2 life, it deals 2 damage up to 1 creature, and then you make a 2/2 bear.
That
is so sick.
And then I have a quick story about this card. The very first time I ever met Thomas, we were drafting in some tournament that was being held, and we knew who we kind of knew each other at that point to be good limited players of the set, because we both referred to it as the same card.
As cruel
tomatum.
That's funny.
You know what's going on.
I literally looked at it and I was like, cool, I like getting like 6th pick cruel tomatum. And he's like, shit.
I was like, yeah. Well, thankfully we were sitting next to each other. So like we were playing nicely.
This is true.
I was in like a green red beat-down deck.
Yeah, and I was over here on like
blue white snowlands.
Yeah, I was over here on like 5-color nonsense.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to give a lame answer and say Star Helm. Unleashed.
Starnheim Unleashed?
Yeah.
No.
No, 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 no.
No, this is a...
James look, wants to work for his value.
I would do work to work for my value. Well, no. So when people say limited cards, the first thing that pops in my head is like the bread and butters of the formats. Mm-hmm. And I don't
or
look
like
at...
a cool
I don't,
uncommon.
Yeah, I don't look at rare. I don't look at rares. Bomb mythic. Yeah, I don't look at rares and mythics.
Bomb
as
mythic
like,
from a subset within the subset.
Exactly. I don't look at those that like that. So I look at commons and uncommons as like bread and butters of formats and stuff.
I like that. Yeah. For sure. It's not like Q where it's everything shuffled in and rarity is meaningless.
Correct. Thomas, what is your favorite limited card?
My limited card is in a similar vein. I picked an uncommon from my favorite retail draft set, which is Ikoria. It has a special place in my heart because it was the first set on Arena that in April of 2020 that had actual player drafts on Arena. Before that, it was just bot drafts.
Oh,
and so,
okay.
So it was extra special. And also, because of the timing of it being April 2020, I don't know if y'all know, but we were all kind of home and not really doing a lot at that time. So I had a lot of time to draft. And I had kind of been on a magic break. I'd been very, like, work and music focused for like a couple of years, played a little bit of Arena here and there, but I hadn't really been playing much, and this just got me back in, all in. So I love Ikoria. I will draft in paper at any point, anytime. It's great. So you said kind of, Cameron, about like Starnheim Unleashed. A very easy answer for me to give would be Luris, because like I love Luris, and whenever we draft cubes,
that's
like,
not where I thought
whenever,
you were going.
No, whenever that. It's not where I'm going. I'm just like giving a shout out to Luris because she's my girl and I love her. And like anytime the Arena cube comes up, there's always this like joke among like me and Lord Tupperware's people of like, oh, Thomas is gonna draft the bad black green Luris deck, and like, yeah, because it's sick and it shouldn't exist, but I make it. it exist.
I don't think you've ever drafted Luris in my JunTuber, though. Have you?
I haven't in the JunTuber. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've done a ton of drafts in the JunTuber. Okay. But I mean, in that environment, there are enough cards that are higher costed permanents that are just so powerful. And it's like
Fable Fury.
Yeah, like that sort of stuff that I think that it's just like Luris is good, but it's just going to be in the main deck, I think.
Making Luris work in your JunTuber is hard.
Luris removal? Let's go.
But anyway, so my favorite limited card, I'm going to give it to Lore Drakus. This is an uncommon from Ikoria. It's one blue red for a 2/3 lizard beast. It says whenever this creature, it has mutate for 2, is it hybrid mana? So blue or red red or blue red. And it says whenever this creature mutates, return target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand.
That card's sick.
Are sick decks you can make with this, with like Forbidden Friendship to make a couple tokens, and then Of One Mind is automatically one mana when you have the two tokens in play, and you mutate this onto the dinosaur token, you get the Of One Mind back, and you cast it for one mana, and you just like are churning through your deck, and like maybe you splash for a Zenith Flare if you've got enough cycling, maybe you are just like outspelling, make a giant mutate pile, get two Lore Drakuses on top of each other, and ooh, baby.
You should make a set cube of Ikoria.
That's been something
it.
I've wanted to do. Then, I have a stack of Ikoria cards for it.
Like three commons. Yeah. Someone figured out the math ratios before, and they're out there. Yeah. Then you can do stuff like, and say like it's three of each common, only put one Xenoph Flare in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
No,
so like it's still
yeah,
there.
I'm not putting two uncommon Xenoph Flares in
there. Yeah, because that was kind of
It's definitely
what,
something I thought about for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We got a throwback draft that sometime. I think our pack's still somewhat affordable.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Next question. What is your favorite wild animal?
You're looking at me for any particular reason?
You're a wild animal.
That's what people tell me.
Is that, what's your favorite wild animal? Hippo.
As much as I do like to play into the joke of, you know, everyone calling me Hippo, it is not my actual favorite wild animal. It's probably either penguins or otters.
Oh, otters are so
cute. Those
are
good choices.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a tiger. It's been a tiger for like my entire life. And I don't see changing that anytime
soon. Can you give me a tiger impression?
Not after
that,
I've
that's
just,
on the paid content.
Not, yeah, that's paid content only. That's for subscribers only.
Not the Patreon either.
That's behind a paywall.
The other paywall.
Yeah.
Only
tigers.
I loved penguins growing up, like obsessed with penguins. I think now red pandas.
Red pandas are cool.
Oh,
they're
hell yeah.
So cute. Have you seen them live? Live? Like it's a band? Have you seen them?
Make some noise for Red Pandas!
They're coming to the Bridgestone Arena.
Cool, I'll not pay for that.
Have you seen them, though?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Never.
Are they at the zoo here?
I've never had the urge squeeze something so hard before. Just like
I'm
going to
recommend you don't do that.
I saw a zoo in China and you can like pay and like go in there and like touch them. Red pandas.
Red pandas.
Thank you, Rusty, for those questions. We appreciate your listening and your time writing those out.
Thank you.
Next, we got Parker. Would you slot in Razzle Dazzle? I stole your question, Hippo. You'll take my bet. Would you slot in Razzle Dazzler in a Simic Delver? That's a good question for Thomas.
So I think Parker's referring to the brew that we talked about, the little blue-green Murmuring Mystic Delver deck. I would certainly give it a try if you're thinking about it yourself. Before we talked about Razzle Dazzler last week on the show, I really hadn't given it much thought. But I think it's sick. I think because the constructed allegory is to like Ledger Shredder, right? In like a deck of this style where like Delver of Secrets, like if you're a Delver deck, then you have this. You have Delver on one end and you have Murmuring Mystic on the other end. And like, do you want a middle threat somewhere in the middle? So that's the question of like, do you want to put a set of creatures in your deck that wants a ton of spells to trigger Delvers and Murmuring Mystics? But you could potentially play these instead of the Avenging Hunters and just be a little bit more lower to the ground. Because I think in Pauper, since Razzle Dazzler has the like whenever you cast a second spell, like it gets bigger and is unblockable, so it's like Ledger Shredder in that way, but Ledger Shredder also loots you. So I think Razzle Dazzler wants to play with cantrips even more than Ledger Shredder does, so that you can keep up that velocity of two spells every turn and keep growing it and getting in. So I think it lends itself really nicely to a Delver deck, especially one that like just wants to cast a ton of like brainstorms and stuff. And maybe I could see that being a little better in something more like a terror list rather than a Murmuring Mystic list, because that also then plays in kind of into like the Murktide allegory of like you have your little threats early with early interaction and then setup, and then you have your big threat like in the mid game.
Close that game out.
Exactly.
Clock going.
Yeah. Which like Murmuring Mystic can also do, but Murmuring Mystic kind of needs some setup after it resolves, where like terror is getting set up as you do your thing anyway, and then it just hits the field. So I think in just like processing it out loud, I like Razzle Dazzler in a Delver deck, but probably one that wants to lean more into terror than into Murmuring Mystic, if that makes sense. That's where my brain is at.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I'll let you go on that, because that is your baby brew.
Yeah,
I agree. I like what you said, the analogy to, is it Murktide? Because it does have that little bit on there. Parker also sent us some non-banlist decks. I don't know if y'all looked through them real quick. I just saw the Affinity one, and that looks like what I would play.
Looks very strong.
That's a bust. I think these would be cool to like almost proxy up, so it's not tying up your collection, and have like a few of these on you and just duke it out with your buddies.
Yeah, these are super sweet.
Mono black midrange.
Four
sinkholes.
That one looks very fun.
Hey, Andy would
sinkhole
love that.
Sinkhole is the only banned card.
No, him is on there too.
Him?
Yeah, him's in the list.
Oh, I thought him was an uncommon.
No, it was common. Him was from Fallen Empires.
Oh, okay. I guess we did talk about it.
The dark.
It's Fallen Empires.
No, you're right.
Infect with Daze, Gitaxian Probe.
Oof.
And Fall from Favor? Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like a terror deck.
No, these are sick.
A terror deck would be super good for
if we have a way to share this in the show notes, we'll put this in the show notes so y'all can take a look at these lists. Parker's putting some good work here.
Yeah, these are super sweet.
Yeah,
I see the Mardu Synth list has Arkham's Astrolabe.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's incredible, understandable,
awesome sauce,
Thomas. Did you want to take this next one from Ethan?
Sure.
So skip out of order.
Yeah, no worries. We got a question from Ethan here. This is kind of a two-part question.
Ethan from Lords Unlimited?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
What is a good first-time popper deck to pilot if I don't want to play red deck wins?
Fair answer.
We'll address that one first.
Ethan is a skilled Magic player.
This is true.
Isn't he just stupid? No, I'm kidding. No, not kidding about him being a skilled Magic player.
Yeah.
Kidding about Mono Red not taking skill. There we go. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Well, that's like you hear that where people is like,
yeah, it's like it's a mouth breather.
Oh yeah, like yeah.
Which,
like,
I think is stupid.
Yes,
I do think it's
like stupid. Yes, sometimes burn will just kill you. It doesn't matter who is behind it, but there's those games where you cannot leave a point of damage on the board, and some people do.
There,
mm-hmm. And you win because of that.
Yeah, I remember a story many, many years ago. There was a person who had moved to Nashville, and I went with him to an event, some bigger event, like an SCG or something like that. And one of the qualifications to travel with him was that you had to admit that Burn was a good deck in Modern.
It's not.
At the time. This was 2016, 2017, 2018, somewhere in that era.
Yeah. When Burn was always fine.
Yes, Burn was like always a fine deck. And he's like, you have to not only admit it is a good deck, that it is a hard deck to win with. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh. That actually made me stop to think about it. Because at the time, I was very much in the, like, yeah, this is a mouth breather deck. But there are some games that are definitely differentiated between a skilled pilot and a non-skilled pilot.
Second part of that question.
Well, no, but what
is the deck?
We haven't answered the question.
Oh!
What is a good first-time popper deck to pilot if someone doesn't want to play red deck wins? I have two answers, if I may.
I got one right off the top of my head. Go for it.
Cool. So, my answer is dependent on the kind of deck that you might like to play as a player. If you're coming in where you want to play to the board and you're more value-oriented, then I would recommend playing one of these synth lists. I think it's arguably one of the best decks in the format right now, and it really showcases a lot that the popper format has to offer.
That was my answer for that.
Yeah, like Synthesizer plus Glenhawk and Core Skyfisher. You have the Inspectors. You have Lightning Bolts.
Now this is popper.
Yeah, and they have all the glitters. Oh, like, yeah. This, it really showcases everything. And white and red have access to really strong sideboard cards. Like Red Blast, Cast into Fire, Dust to Dust.
For me, that deck encapsulates popper so well.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head is at.
Well, I 100% agree with you, Thomas.
Yeah, that was the first place that came to mind. But otherwise, if you are the type of player who wants to do a ton of research and learn everything about the format before diving in, then I think on that side of the spectrum, I would recommend one of these blue blacklists instead. Something like a terror control list. Maybe not something with fairies, unless you prefer a tempo strategy over a control strategy.
I think the raw power of terror is like kind of the attraction there.
Yeah, because like if you can pilot a control deck, then you can play this deck. It's just about knowing what you need to counter and what you need to kill when, and that might just come with if you're not in a situation where you can devote a ton of time to like studying up on the format or maybe even playing a few leagues online, you might not be as well served to just like jump in.
Then fairies might be a little bit better because it's easier with Spellstare Spray. What do I counter? Well, the one drop if you only got one fairy on board. And what do I do with this ninja? Oh, I just bounced the Spellstare Spray back to my hand. That's sick. Yeah. And I drew a card. Cool. I don't care if they know about it. Now they're terrified.
Yeah. But I think the red white like synth/synth glitters list is probably your best place to go. And also just like starting off with one of the best decks in the format is also just I think a good place to start.
For sure.
To.
We're on the same page on that. Yeah. I was thinking Boros Synth or Blue Black Fairies.
Yeah.
Just
we all kind of three-headed the same idea.
Yeah.
We're a three-headed dog.
Ethan, second question. What are good popper streams or YouTube content to get acquainted with the format?
Hippo.
James, you want to start us off with this one?
Yeah, so I think the first person, actually it's probably the most popular popper content creator as far as I can tell, is Kalikais. Dude creates a ton of popper content. It's all very good. Mm-hmm. He definitely has a preference toward more combo-oriented decks. He likes to play things like blue-white familiars deck, and Poison Storm and things like that, and Ultratron. But he will also play just decks that are good in the format and just showcase them, and they're good. Kerblinski is another one that does you can frequently find in top eights of Popper challenges and stuff like that. Also tends to record some of those when he is doing them. Also makes very good Popper content. Yeah, those are two, I think, just off the top of my head that I'd like to highlight.
Yeah.
Those are the two I'll watch from time to time as well. I enjoy both of them. Thomas, do you watch much Popper content?
Not a ton. Mm-hmm. I see, like, Kalikai's stuff come up, and, like, he's, like, similar to what James is saying. He's also just kind of playing around with most of the decks in the format, too, but, like, his just, like, daily, here's a daily league video, you know, like, just playing this list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would recommend Kalikai's.
Yep. Oh, I guess if you want to go in the popular realm of, for popular Magic streamers, Minguchi. Andre Minguchi also does Popper content as well.
He'll do Popper from
time
to
time. He does Popper from time to time.
He might have some paper Popper videos too. Oh, and Card Market.
Oh my gosh.
Card Market has a handful of good
Ethan,
Popper videos.
Watch Card Market content. I love them. I am a, what do you call that? Not a slut. Oh, yeah.
I think that was the word that first came to your head.
Yeah. For Card, I am obsessed with quality. I love their production quality because there's so much Magic content that's so saturated, so I appreciate that they put so much effort and make it easy for those who don't know Magic very well to digest the content very well. I am obsessed with Magic and still find a lot of joy out of it. They do these best decks ever series where it's not very helpful to current Popper, but they just take all these old decks and play them against each other they're doing right now, and it's so much fun to watch. I love them. Cute. And they do really like this format, and you'll see Mengu on there, and former Pro Tour Championship Torolf is part of their crew, and a very, very skilled Magic player.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, won a Pro Tour. Very skilled Magic player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, that's one of my favorite pop-offs of all time.
It is a really good one.
That it was just, like, he wins, and he just looks over his friends, and is just cheesing out. Love it. It was just really cool. Next one's from Derek. You got an email for me. Hey, new listener to the pod. Went back and started from the start, and I'm almost caught up. Awesome, thank you. Go to episode about the UG Blue Mystic Broom. I messed that up. That Thomas was working on, it struck me. I've been trying to think of something similar and failing, but this inspired me. Anyway, I have been messing with the deck and playing it against a bunch of stuff. Mostly, I wanted to say I'm loving the podcast and keep up the good content. Also want to share a couple things that I've been trying with the deck. So the card Think Twice is a card that draws two over time, but triggers the Mystic twice. And that has been a good addition for me. I cut the consider. The other maybe stuff I want to mess with are below. AK, cumulative knowledge for those who don't know. Well, let's talk about the Think Twice first.
Sure.
We had a little argument about Think Twice.
We did.
Right? Not about Think Twice. I started calling everything Think Twice.
Well, it was when we were doing that episode, you did call, like, one of you at least called out Think Twice as a potential option.
I'll take,
like,
that credit.
I think it was, like, Cameron.
Okay, yeah, cool.
It was like between, like, Think Twice or Quick Study, if you, like, just getting, like, one piece of cardboard that could make two cards.
Oh yeah, we had the cardboard theory.
Yeah,
or rectangle theory.
Well, not quite rectangle
theory,
but just
should,
like,
be an episode.
Spell triggers.
We should just do a rectangle theory episode. But yes, I love Think Twice in this deck. I think Think Twice is a sick card.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a control deck, you have Wafo Tapa's seal of approval.
Seal of approval.
Man has registered that card in Legacy.
That's true.
So yeah,
Derek also asked about accumulate knowledge, which I am just a fan of anyway. That card's super fun.
Yeah, card is sweet. I think if you want the chance of, or if you like, for the off chance that you, like, don't want your AKs to trigger with your opponent's AKs, you should play Frantic Inventory.
Right, but who's casting accumulated knowledge?
Then, dude, then you're playing
right now.
Oh, I was like, whoever's playing Fog.
Then we're playing a fun game.
I agree.
Eureka Moment as a 2 of. What's Eureka Moment?
Oh, that's that card that I was talking about. It's the 2 blue green. Draw two cards.
Oh, the bigger growth spot.
Put a land.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. I can see that working in that brew too.
Yeah.
I think that card
is cool. Is it an instant?
Yeah.
If you can hold up mana for and stuff, that's super cool. Because I was saying it's nice to have something to hold up mana for. Mm-hmm. That deck, I think, needs.
Yeah.
Oh, we need Mystic Snake downshift to the common. That would be awesome.
We'll get to that question.
Okay. Yeah. 2 times pulse. Because you don't have 6. So you 2 pulse of Maraskas, so you have 6 mystics in a way. Mm-hmm. You were playing one.
Yep. No, I was. I think I was out on two pulse.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
Exclude and repulse are things, I think. I've tried. Snap might be better. I think exclude and repulse can be really good in a heavy initiative meta, which we're kind of shifting away from.
Sure.
So
kind of shifting to like lean, mean, like cheap stuff. So like a three mana interaction spell is maybe not where
so
we want.
So snapping something of glitters might be where you want to be versus... Yeah.
Snap, even like Snap Back was a card that I had considered because it is free.
I see what you did there, consider. Huh.
No, we cut the considers.
Yeah, we cut the considers. So those are gone. Those are gone. Lastly, and this may be overkill, this is very overkill, but Capsize is a bounce effect, keeps on going, doing its thing, and triggering mistakes. Maybe mana intensive, but with Spiral Eureka Moment, you could maybe support a one of. I think that's sick.
I think a one of Capsize, especially if you're going up to adding Eureka Moments, I think one of Capsize is really sick.
I'm sure it's fun to Capsize lock your opponent.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is.
Gotta be, right?
That's awesome.
I want to say, in fact, I can say this. Back in the day, that was one of your finishers when you played Mystical Teachings.
Oh, gosh.
Whoa. You had Mystical Teachings for Capsize and start to buy back Capsize every single turn, bouncing your opponent's lands. Oof. It was so sick.
And the current format might be more about, hey, I gotta not die right away.
Too much. As sweet of a card as this is.
But do it if it makes you happy.
This card is super sweet. You have my approval.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you for the question /... Yeah, it's a question. We'll call it. And the very kind words you sent in.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Derek.
Appreciate you, y'all listening.
Appreciate that my little brew inspired you.
Yeah, we got a few emails about your brew. Yeah. We got
maybe
a question.
We should do another brew.
We got a question from an evil man.
All right, so so
this is just evil incarnate.
Friend of the podcast, my friend Andy Havermill.
He's our friend.
He's our friend. Yeah,
he's a friend of us all.
He's true. So Andy asked this question. He goes, "Why is Cameron so wrong about Sinkhole?"
I don't know who fucking hurt you. I have a question for you.
So Andy likes to do mean things, obviously. And
it's just not healthy.
It's not healthy.
Nobody.
It's so funny because remember, I the thing I have said about what, you know, adding positive play patterns to a format, like what positive experiences does this add to a format? He is actually the one who asked that question. Like we were talking about, I don't remember exactly what it was specifically, but that was
why does he want Sinkhole unbanned?
It wasn't related to Popper, I don't think. Oh, but okay. It was specifically him that asked the question. He goes, if it like, why would you unban something if it doesn't provide, or if it doesn't provide a positive play experience in the format? And I think this card is perfect epitome of that question. It's like, this card does not add a positive play experience at all.
Because we were talking, and he's just like, yeah, I agree. Him's way too good. And just like, you're like,
yes.
You agree with me on that. Like, him can't unban him that. He's like, him's way worse. I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. So, like, Sinkhole's better. I'm like, yeah, Sinkhole's better. I'm like, wait, no, still no. No Sinkhole.
No, Sinkhole is not
two
okay.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Still not okay. So, funny. I do not think Cameron is wrong.
Ooh, yay, thank you. Remember, yeah,
I'm gonna side with Cameron too. Sorry, Andy. Try again next time.
Try again.
Love you and your degeneracy, but yeah. the Sinkhole is not a place has not a place in Popper.
Do you want to read Mr. J's first question?
We got a handful of James. No, yeah, James, take the first one
for Jay. Okay, Jay and James.
We got a bunch of questions from Jay.
All right. So Jay's first question is, who has had the biggest impact on you as a Magic player? And part two of the question, as a content creator.
Wait, that's the first question?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jay's first question. We already talked about the mammals.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was reading
first,
that.
First real question.
Excuse me, land mammals.
So, biggest impact on me as a Magic player. I'm going to go with an old school, not Magic player anymore, but used to be a Magic player. His name was Craig Wesco. He actually grew up here in Nashville. For those who did not know,
I did not know that
he used. Yeah, he grew up here in Nashville. He ended up becoming synonymous with what we call like the white weenie archetype. That's what mm-hmm. was, that is kind of his bread and butter. But I remember the very first Pro Tour I ever got to watch, he won that Pro Tour. So he definitely became a like early favorite of mine as far as like content creation. So I just like sucked up any content he had, like any deck list he posted on like a Friday, because he always used to post on TCG Player. Like every Friday I would sit there and wait for his articles to come out and I would read them. I was so excited to read them. And he definitely inspired me to for white to be my favorite Magic color, obviously. And yeah, so he's obviously had a huge effect on me as a Magic player. I'd say he's the biggest effect on me as a Magic player. As a content creator, the two fine gentlemen sitting right in front of me, you two keep me going every week, and I love it. I love that I get to sit down with my two friends and create content.
What about besides us?
Content that creator. Mm-hmm. affected me as a content creator
had the biggest impact. Not, I mean, your answer can be us.
I thought
let his answer be us. It's okay.
Not you as a content creator, but
no, I think it is referring as a content creator, like content creator. Oh. I believe that is the way his question is worded.
Cameron, you're a content creator.
You are a content creator.
I create content.
You do.
Yeah, baby.
Go ahead, Thomas. Who had the biggest impact on you as a Magic player?
I have a couple of call outs. I would be remiss if I did not give a shout out to my dear friend Sean. We met freshman year of college and he had played since I think Onslaught, and he taught me how to play and I was hooked. Like, I mean, absolutely hooked. He taught me how to play. We started putting together a Magic club in college, and it just took off from there. So, I have to mention Sean. I would not.
You
be
were
playing.
Not in college during Onslaught, though.
No. Okay. He started playing way back when he was a kid or whatever, or way back for us at least. Definitely shout out to Sean. Taught me how to play. I literally wouldn't be sitting here with you guys if he had not taught me how to play Magic. So it's pretty cool.
Dang.
And in terms of other, like, who else has had the biggest impact, if going down James's route of like watching Pro Tours and things of that ilk, I mean, watching, oh man, there's so many names I could pull.
I think I have an answer for content creation.
Oh, now. You go for that while I think about all these names.
I'm actually going to choose somebody who used to commentate on the Pro Tour. I'm going to go with Brian David Marshall.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with the Pro Tour historian.
That's a really good choice.
I obviously watched him however many years he did, for about 10 years, more than 10 years commentating Pro Tours. So, I think I'm going to go with him. He is unabashedly himself. Still cares so much about the game. Like, even if he's not sitting behind the booth all the time, still cares a ton about the game, cares about the players in the game, always... like wanted to shout out play or wanted to or highlight players that may not be a big name yet, but like saw them doing well or consistently doing well and wants to go find them and, you know, make sure that they get the recognition they deserve. So I'm going to go with that. Like, that's content creation, and I'm going to go with that's probably the person who impacted me looking at new players growing up. And as far as professional content's great, that he's a great one.
Hell yeah. In terms of pro players, I'll shout out some names, like, just, I mean, watching Reed Duke play over the years, William Huey Jensen, Brad Nelson. We mentioned Andre Mengucci when he was in his prime. Steve Rubin won Shadows of Irinistra. That was very impressive. Anytime Finkel would just like randomly top eight a Pro Tour when I was like in college, he had like another spurt of like Pro Tour top eights at that time. Like, there's so many impactful pros, but I think really if I really think about it, I really have two categories of like who has actually had the biggest impact on me as a Magic player. First, I'm going to shout out my partner, Hannah, because she is my like number one support system. She's the first person I text after every round of a tournament. She's there to support me, win or lose, no matter what. And I think that like having a support system, which is what I'm going to get to in my next thing, is just makes all the difference. And the next thing is you guys, like my close friends, my teammates. Like, I was not as good of a Magic player as I am now before I came to Nashville, and that's in big part because of you guys and the rest of our team and the competition that is here in Nashville, which I think is pretty high for a local area.
There's like three people in the top eight in SCG Con from the Nashville area.
As
someone who...
And Mason won the 5K. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So yeah, as someone who has been in Nashville for a long part of the entirety of my competitive or competitive nature,
striving competitive career.
it has been a wild ride. I definitely remember there was a time where Nashville was considered an extremely soft area as far as competition was concerned. So
Nashville soft is what you
Nashville
told me.
Soft was what we got told years and years ago.
Look at us now.
Yeah, I think Nashville is a high rate. Well, the Middle Tennessee area, we'll go with that. The Middle Tennessee area is a hotbed right now.
It is
for good Magic players.
RCQ every weekend too, which is awesome.
Yeah, you can go find multiple RCQs every weekend.
Very fortunate.
So yeah, happy to be part of your Nashville community.
Yeah.
Yay.
As a content creator, I'll also shout out you guys. I mean, I love doing this. You guys have made me a content creator in this way. Also a shout out to Ethan Sachs. He's been a great help, friend, and mentor in a way of like little odds and ends here and there, especially when I was getting started streaming, of just like what do I do, how, what. And he and his community have been super supportive and very kind to me as well.
Super sick.
Yeah. Cameron, what about you?
So I have a three-part answer for the first part.
Excellent.
Who was the biggest impact? Is he was a Magic career. So level one at Badlands Sports Cards in Yankton, South Dakota. It was Gavin and Preston. Those were my first LGS bosses. They've been playing since like Unlimited, you know, so just they always beat me. And then I around that Esper Control era, like when I was saying, like when I picked up Esper Control and Standard, like after I won like 2 weeks in a row, like everybody but three people showed up in mono red. He's like, we're going to get under you. And I still won. And I remember like beating Preston in the finals. I'm like, hey, do you want to split the packs? And like, it's like a few packs. He's like, let me go talk with my brother. That's Gavin. Mm-hmm. And so like, they're outside talking, like we're splitting some big grand prize, you know? And he's like, no, we talked about it. No splits. And then I kicked his ass. And so it was great. And I remember one point in the game where I upticked the fairy. I think I like Chemistry's Insight. So I have like four cards in my hand. And he even says out loud, he's like, you have a Dovin's Veto or an Absorb, so I need to wait till I have the second burn spell to kill you with it on the stack. And I'm just looking at him with four lands. Then I top deck the Absorb. I'm like, okay, now I'm safe.
Yeah.
And then now I had the mana to do like the search for his Kanto stuff and find more answers. So I'm like, okay, we're chilling now. So that was sick. Second part, Zach Garrett's also from Yankton. So this is Gavin and Preston eventually kind of stopped playing a little bit. Now I am the LGS boss in my old town at Badlands. And walks in this kid named Zach. And he's like, hey, do you have a deck bar? I'm like, yeah, I have Elementals for Modern. He's like, just stock list. I'm like, yep. And I'm like, okay. He's like, okay, cool. Then he just like 3-0s us easily. And then he starts like 3-0-ing. It's like either him or me 3-0-ing like every time. And it's just, he's a really, really good player. He really leveled me up. And there's just not a ton of grinders in that area. And he's got that grinder mindset. And he's just a very skilled Magic player. And I think he really leveled me up quite a bit before moving here shortly. And my third and final part is, yeah, you guessed it, y'all.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, like I feel like I've definitely improved a lot since coming here. And I thought I had a little ego coming here. Like, oh, I'm pretty good at this game. And then
You proved that right away.
No, my ego got inflated because of it, too. Yeah, because, like, I remember we played, like, Amir. I beat you the first time we played.
You beat me the first time we played.
I don't know that.
I definitely tried to give you a hard time, too.
That's funny. What did we play the first time?
You were on, like, it was four-color control in Modern.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Sick. But, like, I moved to Nashville, like, the four Sunday Wednesdays for, like, four Modern events in a row. I didn't lose a single game. And then the store championship happened. And then I went like 0-4.
Oh, you were playing Pioneer.
Yeah. And then I just went 0-4.
You got humbled real quick.
Then like the good players came out and stuff like that too. And like the other like grinders. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause I remember I top baited that event actually.
Yeah, for sure. And then just, I improved a lot like since like coming here, like got 17 place my first like con event at Card Monster Con.
Yeah,
they kind of faded out. Really, do they still do stuff?
They still do stuff. Not to that scale. Yeah, I don't think
it's hard to do stuff like that. No, I remember because that was the first trip you really took with any of us from here in Nashville.
Oh, we'll get there. that's a question. Save it.
Oh, never mind.
And then like recently top aiding SCG Con stuff, and that was like my biggest event slash win thing yet, and that felt really good. As in like, cool, I am good at magic and stuff. Yeah. So it's really cool.
No, I definitely have loved to see the growth that both of you have had since you've been here. It's been awesome.
Sick. It's just nice. Like I said, y'all, our testing team too, it's just like everybody strives to be better at the game, and I think that's why we're improving so much.
And I think we focus on fun, and we focus on helping each other, and we focus on our friendships before we focus on the game.
Oh,
and
for
like,
sure.
That I think like being able to prioritize the right stuff helps to put us in the right mentality and like in like mental and emotional space to play good Magic too.
There's a second part of Magic. It's called The Gathering.
It's The Gathering.
Oh. It's The Gathering.
It's about The Gathering.
The Gathering. The Gathering is very important. Yeah. I definitely like The Gathering over the Magic.
Yeah, you do. Sometimes more so than the Magic. No.
I would if I had to give up one thing.
Like you came to Chicago with us without a ticket.
Yeah, I did. Like I wanted to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, most of the time that I come and do Magic related things, it is at this point is for me to hang out with my friends.
For sure.
Do I enjoy playing Magic? Of course I do. Do I enjoy winning at Magic? Of course I do.
Winning's fun.
But I also love hanging out with my friends too. That's why I like to do this podcast with you two every week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As a content creator, as a content creator, inspired me most is Josh Lee Kwai from the Command Zone.
Hell yeah!
Because I started out as a Commander player, as most people do nowadays. But definitely, I don't watch their content anymore. I used to like watch every Game Night's video and all that stuff.
I used to listen to the podcast regularly.
Oh yeah, me too. I like up until 2018, 2019, 2020, mm-hmm. I listened to every episode like 4 times over. And I am very, very, I have a lot of respect for him because he saw like the YouTube space. He quit a very cushy job as an editor. Like he made trailers for like Disney and Marvel and you know, you can't get bigger than that. So he quit that and he started working for Rocket Jump and that's where he met his co-host and all that stuff. And I still love and I'll still re-listen to some podcast episodes on the Command Zone where they did like tips and tricks for content creators. They did their origin stories. They had like 2 episodes where they just JLK will talk to the professor and they'll just not about magic necessarily, but just kind of about like content creation. And they're really clever in that space. So like, there's a lot to learn from them. I recommend if you're interested in content creation, like watching those Command Zone episodes where they talk about that. And just like the biggest thing that stuck with me, he said is, he sold some old gaming account he had to move to LA after the first month's rent. He had like $16 in his bank account and they went and bought groceries for 2 weeks for $16. And he's like, there's 4 million people living in the city, probably more. I don't know. If they can make it, I can make it. Like, why can't I do it? And so like, that's really like kind of the generic, like, yeah, just do it stuff. But like, in a very good and inspiring way, I love that stuff. Hit me with the next one, Thomas. Hit me, baby, one more time.
We're gonna get up close and personal here. Thanks, y'all, for hanging out with us. I'm having a lot of fun doing
no,
doing
this
all
is super
this.
Fun. I like this because we're just...
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this all day. This is going to be super fun. Jay asks, can you discuss your personal origin stories? What got you into playing Magic? How about the origin story of this podcast? Who wants to go first?
I got mine off the top of my head. I played Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
Got into that. Brian Kibler made Hearthstone videos, and he would talk about Magic time and time. So I'm like, all right, what the hell is this Magic thing? Tried looking up how to play it online. Saw like some people explaining all that. Okay, that's confusing. Turns out one of my friends from high school, they played it. So this is my senior year. I am 17, 2017. He starts teaching me how to play it. We go to Walmart, dual decks, Avenger, Eldrazi versus Zendikar.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I remember this exactly. I know. Yep. I can envision this exactly. Yep.
So that was my first Magic product. We'd play from time to time. We played very wrong. Classic. Go to college, and we're hanging out, and like some magic cards on the table, and like some of our friends, like one of them, they're both in a frat, so they're kind of like fratty dudes in college. Like, oh, you play Magic? We're like, yeah. I'm like, so do we. And so like when we start playing these 6-man pod games, and so just like it started with that, and we all kind of learned the rules together. Like we used to tap to block, and like you like declared combat one at a time. Oh, and yeah. I just got way more into it than everybody else. And then I dropped out of college, and at this point I've gone to my first pre-release, so I know the rules as a basic. I can like play a game correctly, not well, but correctly. And that's when I found like Game Store, and all my buddies in college were like, yo, you want to come to this party? And I'll just be like, no, I can't play Magic this weekend. And so it's like, that's just been like my friend group ever since has just been the people I have met playing Magic. And I think that's a really cool thing about this game, because our friend group is very like diverse in age. It ranges from our buddy Carson being just turned 23 to Jay. You know,
Jay's not even the oldest person in our friend group.
Oh, okay, there you go.
No, and, I think Trejo's probably the oldest person in our friend group.
And everyone's just been like so kind and so cool, like, you know, and it's just like have really good friends out of it. My buddy Austin, met him playing Magic, and now I work with him and stuff. So just like beautiful friendships. And it's like at a point where it's like we do things that aren't Magic together. Crazy.
Yeah,
we'll go outside and touch grass.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Very seldomly. We gotta do more. Not like when we had a fire the other weekend and I drank too much.
That was fun.
I enjoyed it.
I loved that my hoodie smelled like wood smoke for the next day.
Yeah. Oh. My jacket did, and I'm like, I can't wear this. I can't wear this. I love it in the moment. I love how that smell is in the
I do too, but once
I'm like home, I'm like, nope. Can't do this. The
next day, it did also smell like other smoke. mostly wood smoke. But mine did.
Yeah, mine. So we had cigars.
You had
I did have a cigar.
Yeah, our friend Devin comes up to me. I'm like smoking my second or third like cigarola swisher. And he's like, are you fucking chain smoking like cigarolas? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, a lot. That's funny. No, I like doing non-magical things. Wow. I got off topic. We got me playing Magic about the origin story of the podcast.
We can cover the podcast story after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got Hippo into playing Magic the Gathering.
All right. What's your personal origin
story? So I'll start from... I did not play Magic at this
birth.
Age. No. As a little kid, I liked Yu-Gi-Oh! I liked the television show. I had cards. I would like
get, but didn't play.
I did play. Oh, not okay. like in any competitive. I just played with like either my friends or I would get like
me too.
My parents like, yeah. Or my grandparents to play with me.
So you've always liked touching
cardboard. So I always liked touching cardboard.
Yeah.
It's
a drug.
It truly is. And then I didn't play for a very long time. And then I got to high school. I noticed there were people, end of my freshman year, there were people that were playing. And I was like,
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There were people that were playing Yu-Gi-Oh. I was like, oh, I wonder if I still have, well, I did. I knew I still had cards. And I was like, I wonder if these cards are any good anymore. So, from the beginning of my sophomore year, I actually started playing and got, had some friends help me get some good cards together for Yu-Gi-Oh! And then I noticed that there's these two kids one morning off to the side in the cafeteria that would normally have been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! With us. And so I walked over to them and I was like, watching them, I was like, what is this? And they're like, this is a game called Magic. And I was like, do you mind if I watch? And they both said, yeah. Actually, in fact, one of those two people still lives in this area and still plays Magic. So he was the very first Magic cards I ever saw. And it was the Golgari Precon from RTR and the Is It Precon from RTR.
Yes.
Those are the two decks that were being played. I remember the first card that I saw, that I physically saw, was a Hypersonic Dragon. That is the absolute first Magic card that I personally ever remember seeing.
Is that the one that lets you cast sorceries?
Yes. Instance? I love that card. That's probably on my like top five Magic cards of all time. I absolutely love that card. But anyways, Hypersonic, they were playing those two. And I went home that night and my dad was asking about how my day was at school. And so I was like, yeah, it was cool, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I learned about this new game today. He's like, yeah, what was it? And I was like, it's called Magic the Gathering. And he was kind of had this stunned look, and he's like, I played that game before you were born. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so then a friend of mine who was in marching band with me, she learned that I was kind of interested in playing the game. And so she gave me all her cards that she had. Cause she's like, I just like looking at them. I don't have any intention of playing the game. So you're welcome to have all my cards. And I was like, that's awesome. I very much appreciate that. And so my dad made me my very first deck that I used, or that I went, you know, took to school or whatever. It was not very good. It was just like a bunch of pile of random cards.
I wanted like four strip mines.
Oh god!
And
you're like just, your dad oh god! Pulls no. cards this out was of his like, closet. Like I've been
no,
playing
the,
with
no,
these.
Like the card. The cards my friend handed me. She handed me like oh, there were some rares. There were actually some rares. Two rares I remember off the top of my head were a what's the three mana Edge Champion. Edge Champion
Ooh.
Was
oh,
one
okay.
of them.
I do know that card.
And then Vincer's Journal.
Yep,
I know both.
Vincer's
those
Journal. And then, so that was when I started, then I like went and bought my own like pre-con, so on and so forth. And that's really where my start came. I remember the very first time I went to an LGS.
What LGS was it, you
it
know?
It was the current one that I still
that's
go to.
That's insane.
I have been to the same LGS.
The game.
I have been to the same LGS for 10 years.
That's
10,
insane.
10 years. They opened in 2013. I did not go until release day for Born of the Gods. In February of 2014.
That's what gets you in, it's pre-release. That's same
it wasn't
me.
A pre-release.
Oh, really?
No,
oh, release day.
It was a release day. Okay. So it was an FNM that I went to.
Oh, okay,
My friends from school invited me. They're like, hey, you should come play. I was like, I don't have a real, like, actual standard deck. Oh, I did, but I didn't have a real standard deck. And so my mom's boyfriend did have a real standard deck that he let me borrow for the night. I went. I remember my first round opponent. She was, I could not have asked for a better person to make me feel more comfortable playing the game, like, in a space with other people I did not know. She was super, super, super nice.
She's like a real Rigel of the world.
Yes, she was a super. It's funny because her husband was not the most pleasant person. I love him to death. Not the most pleasant person you could have ever met. In fact, I took many trips with him to Magic events. I do like them as a person. But his wife was awesome. She was. I could not have asked for a nicer person to sit down and play Magic with. And from then on, I became hooked. That's what did it.
Magic will do that to you.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
Hell yeah.
And I guess, oh yeah, we can.
Yeah.
We'll track back to the last
it's
part of the question.
It's my turn.
It's Thomas's turn.
I've kind of mentioned where I first learned Magic a little bit with my friend Sean teaching me to play freshman year of college. But I had played card games like since I was very, very little. I had a ton of like original set like Pokemon cards when I was very little because it was just coming out when I was very young. Like when I was like 5 or 6, I don't know if this is why I have long hair, but sometimes I wonder if this is partially why that I was so scared of getting a haircut. I was like, really didn't want my dad to like get the buzzers too close to my ears. And I was really sensitive to like weird noises as a kid. And like, I was sensitive to different like touch things, texture things with food. Like I was a very sensitive kid. And so my parents would bribe me of like, if you can get through this haircut, we'll get you a pack of Pokemon cards.
I would get
I was
bribed
like, okay,
cards too.
All right, cool, cool. So like, I had some like old, I had like an, like OG, like foil base set Blastoise, Gyarados, like a bunch of jungle cards.
Where are they at?
Those are long gone. I do have a stack of like, I have almost the original 150 filled, at least one copy of some printing of the original 150 from those original sets, including the ones that have like two printings because there's like two Haunters and two Ghastlies and between base set and fossil. And anyway, but I was big into Pokemon growing up. Also played Yu-Gi-Oh. I was homeschooled, and so my brother Nolan, who's the I'm the oldest of seven, for those who don't know, which is probably most of you listening. and so we were homeschooled, and so me and my brother Nolan, who is the second oldest, we'd play Pokemon against each other all the time. Once we got into Yu-Gi-Oh, we'd play that up against each other a whole bunch. Like I still actually brought over some of the Yu-Gi-Oh cards I still have. I have that old Zombies deck. It's super sick. So I was like in and around the like TCG space, but I was never going out to play games like at stores or anything. I was just playing with my siblings and maybe occasionally if like a homeschool friend or something had some cards, we'd play, but it was mostly a thing just me and my siblings. And then I got to college and they were playing Magic, and I was like, I'd always like seen Magic on the peripheral, like in the store. It always felt like the older kid thing, like I would, you know, like that's like the complicated game that like the adults play or whatever. And so they taught me to play, and I was in. It was great. I was like, yeah, let's go. And then the very first break from that semester, I was hanging out at my girlfriend at the time at her parents' house for a couple days over that break, and we just like went to Walmart, and I like picked up the theme deck, the same starter deck that James started with, I believe, the Return to Ravnica Is It starter deck with that hypersonic dragon that you saw and were inspired by. And in that, they used to include a booster pack in the intro deck.
Get you started.
And to get you started. And it was the Is It deck. And in the booster pack, I opened Niv-Mizzet.
Oh, that's cool.
In that set. And I was like, no way. I opened the blue red mythic rare in my blue red intro deck. Whoa. And I, boom, done. I'm hooked. I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in.
I also remember what I opened in my booster pack of that starter deck.
What did you open?
I opened Tristani.
Also very good.
Also very good, cool. But it was not. It did not fit in my my blue red deck.
And you could trade that with the yeah. No, they had the Golgari when you said yeah.
Well, it was
but you could trade it.
Yeah, around that time, like a bunch of my friends started getting stuff like that, yeah. And then no, I probably traded it for like cancels.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, cancels with upside. But no. So got hooked. Started playing. You know, building bad standard decks. And my friends and I in college, we started a Magic club on campus that went strong in my entire time there. I don't know if it's still going on or not, but we had, it was so much fun. We would put, inspired by Star City Games, like Players Championship, we would book a classroom to have, FNMs on campus every Friday night. And we would track everyone's points from their matches throughout like the whole semester.
Do like a little league
and
thing?
We, yeah, like a little That's league cool. thing. So we did, the second year we did it was the most clean way we did it.
First where, one's always yeah, messy,
The
man.
First one was messy. We counted the whole year and it was just the top 8 players. Uh-huh. So it was like, it was a slog, but it was awesome. And then because we were a club, we used like the club funds that they would give you. We just went and spent it all at the city for prize support.
Yeah, that's
and,
cool.
And for draft packs for our draft portion.
We
it
did
was
that.
Awesome.
It was, cool.
It was so awesome. Yeah, that one we did three rounds of standard. No, we did a full Theros block draft, so Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey to Nyx draft, 3 rounds of standard and 3 rounds of modern. And my friend Sean, who I mentioned before, he was also playing in this top 8 end of year tournament, and he didn't have a modern deck put together at the time, so he just played his green white standard deck and just like his like Voice of Resurgence green white standard deck and just like shoved modern cards in it. And he was playing for the trophy. We had prizes for the trophy in each format and then prizes overall. And this is a classic story in our old college friend group. He's playing against our buddy Vinny, and Vinny was playing Ad Nauseam, which had the sideboard plan of turning into a Gifts Ungiven Unburial Rites deck where you would Unburial Rites Iona and lock your opponent out of the game. And so Vinny does, this is game 3, Vinny does that and plays Iona and is thinking about what to name, whether white or green. And he goes with white because Path to Exile is a very realistic card.
Yeah, what's going to remove Iona?
And Sean is sitting there, and he's got 2 cards in his hand. He's looking at Path to Exile and Plummet. And so Vinny names white.
Get
and then
wrecked.
He goes, pass the turn, and Sean is like, Plummet your Iona.
Oh,
and Vinny just like lost his shit.
It
was so funny. It was so funny.
That's a great story.
Oh man. So that happened. That was great. But no, we had some great the second year we did it, we did like 2 or 3 tournaments each semester where the winner of that tournament would auto queue and then the rest of the spots would be filled up by
That's
like
cool.
points overall.
It's like running.
Yeah, super
cool.
It was super, super fun. Those like some great memories. Like we played a lot of Commander in those days too. We had like a 11 player Commander game one time that was like took forever.
Commander was really fun when the cards weren't being directly spoon-fed into the format.
I agree.
And when I didn't have whatever budget I wanted into the game. Right. Like, when it felt like I opened a pack.
And you'd be like, oh, this would be sick in this one of my decks.
Yeah, it was like an episode from Yu-Gi-Oh! When, like, Yugi opens a pack, and he's like, this card would be good in my deck.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that was real. You would open a pack, and now it's just, you buy a boost. You're an adult. You have adult money.
Yeah.
I buy a booster box. Okay. Trash. What's this card? $20. Okay, I can sell that for 20 on Card Kingdom. Trash. Like, what the fuck? What are we doing here anymore? It sucks. Where it's like collector boosters are the only thing I want to open. That's side tangent. Sorry, we're
You're good. No, all valid points. But yeah, no, that's you know, that got me into playing. I've loved Magic ever since we started going to Grand Prix, and all that jazz. But yeah, it wasn't really until I got to took various breaks between college and COVID, which is like a 4-year span, I think, for me. I was focusing much more on work and then focusing more on music at times, and then come COVID and then Nashville, I just dove back in all in.
Should we loop around to the next question? How did you guys meet and become friends and then come to the origin of the podcast?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
You lived here before any of
James
us.
James is first.
So let's talk about. Start Hippos here. You moved here,
then
Thomas.
Moved here. So James and I meet. So
when did
James,
you move?
November 2020.
From where?
From my partner Han and I. We're both originally from New England. Myself, Vermont, and her, Boston. Summer of 2020. We were planning, before COVID hit. We were planning to move to Flagstaff, Arizona, and then COVID kind of like we were. Should we go? Should we not? We decided to go. And things ended up because of the situation, how the world was, it just didn't quite work out. And so we were coming from Flagstaff at the time. Nashville was going to be a temporary stop. We were going to be here for like a couple weeks,
now
try
you're
it
stuck.
Out. And then we were like a couple weeks to a few months, try it out. Like we were in a long-term Airbnb and then maybe try out another city. And just like, we just threw our stuff in storage and we're just going to bop around the country.
And you tried to move, but I kept you here. Yeah. I held you down.
Yeah, it was definitely you. Yeah, but no, we just ended up just for various circumstances, many of which felt very negative at the time, but now have swung very much in the opposite direction to very positive reasons to stay.
Life
works out.
So
we are still here.
Life finds a way.
But anyway, that brought me here. And it wasn't until I wasn't comfortable going to events until the vaccines were out. So did that. And
understandably,
it was like spring 2021.
Yep.
I have to say.
Yeah, so it was May, I believe.
Yes.
May of 2021, I see that a quote store was going to hold an event.
God, are you just itching at this point?
I truly am. Honestly, I've not played any single actual tournament in at this point a year and
too
a
long.
Half.
Yeah.
So I was literally fiending for anything I could get. Because at that point, I was just kind of playing with my friends.
God, just talk to a stranger even at that point.
Yeah, honestly. So I see that the store wants to hold, or this, you know, the store wants to hold a two-part tournament. They want to hold a draft to start the day, and then they want to have a modern portion the second half of the day.
Is this the cave?
No, this is not the cave. Okay. I don't even remember what this
like
store
a
was
new,
called.
They were a new thing. They didn't really know.
They didn't have a storefront,
they
so they were actually kind of just getting into the like card sphere, basically. And they wanted to, so they held a draft, and we were supposed to be drafting Strixhaven.
Right.
We were supposed to be drafting Strixhaven.
It had just come out.
Because it had just come out, and we were told that we were going to draft until we got there.
Now, I knew it was Kaldheim when I got there because I listened to I listened to the 50 takes in 50 minutes episode of Kaldheim.
I think before, in the tournament description, I think it was actually said it was Strixhaven.
Originally, it was supposed to be
the Strixhaven draft. And then we got there that day and it ended up turning into Kaldheim. Anyways, Thomas and I think ended up sitting next to each other in the draft. And then we kind of vibed off each other for knowing card lingo.
Cruel ultimatum.
Cruel ultimatum. Okay. And then I was like, this is a cool dude. He does music stuff. Well, I kind of figured out pretty quickly you did music stuff. I was like, this is a cool dude. He does music stuff. And then I didn't think much of it, but by the end of the day. And then you we had like friend each other on Facebook or whatever, yeah. So we could talk later. And then you ended up coming to a cube draft.
Yes,
at a vintage cube draft. And then damn. those were
what
when,
year is this?
This is 2021.
Still 21.
Okay.
And then we started being like good friends because like we were both good at cube.
Yes,
we were both basically
instantly had this thing to connect.
Yeah,
on.
We were both kind of hanging out for cube, and it was sweet. And then. Yeah, that kind of hit that off. And then Cameron.
I moved in 2022.
Yes.
And it's funny. I saw on Facebook before I moved here, I think you posted, I like cube at this point, but couldn't find people to cube with. I have six for cube. Don't make me cube with six. We need two more. Someone posted that on the Facebook group in the Game Cave.
It's entirely possible. I thought your first time.
Yeah, so I visited here. I knew I was moving to Nashville.
Yeah.
So I came here on spring break, and what do? You find the game store, and you start playing. So make a post on Reddit, yo, where do I go play Magic in Nashville? Somebody said the Game Cave. I don't know who that person is, but somebody said the Game Cave. And go to the Game Cave. I show up with my Lurrus Saga deck. Mm-hmm. I 3-0, I met Rayton, and this is the first time ever someone has ever told me, would you like to draw into? And this is the biggest event I've ever played in at this point in my life. And there was, like, what, 28, 26 people there?
Oh, like on a Sunday Modern?
Yeah. Whatever. And mm-hmm. He's like, do you want to draw on the top eight? Or like, we're 4-0 or whatever. Do you want to draw on the top eight? I'm like, what do you mean? We don't have to play. If we draw, we can both make top eight. I'm like, but how do you know that? And just like how Rayton carries himself very well and how he
Rayton
talked.
Rayton is very calculated.
Yeah. And like how he talked and he was explaining to me and it was just going right over my head. I'm just like, fuck, this guy's really good at Magic. And we're not even playing Magic. And I think we split top eight or whatever. So I'm like, oh, this is sick. Cool city. Everybody was like super, super nice. And then the next day, Lurrus got banned. I don't remember, which is hilarious. I was at Fido Coffee Shop and I remember reading that. And I'm like, oh, good thing I played
got,
already.
Yeah, got one last Lurrus hidden.
So then I move here in later that year, 2022, I believe, and I come play at the Cave, and I remember playing against Hippo, and at some point after playing against you or before I played against you, you're outside the Game Cave steps, mm-hmm. Your hands are on your head, or your head
exactly
is in your hands.
I know exactly where this is about to go.
And you are beat red. And I think I remember.
I know
like,
exactly
Thomas,
why and what.
I
happened.
Don't know what the hell your problem
I
was, can, but
I do.
I remember you and like Devin were kind of like showing him the hell out. I remember just thinking, like, what the fuck is this guy's deal? Why is he all
pissed off? I can tell you exactly what it was.
What was it?
I was playing against a guy named Chandler West.
Okay,
and
we don't gotta blast people.
No, I'm not blasting him. He was a good player.
Oh, okay,
Chandler's
okay.
Chill.
But his thing was he played Burn.
Yep.
He played Burn every week.
Yeah.
In Modern. And I continuously, like every single week, I would add more and more and more hate for that deck, and it did not matter.
Nope.
It did not matter, and I think the final straw was I was playing this
You're playing the four-color...
The four-color Rhinos deck with Yorion in it.
No, the one you flip into the Cascade. The Cascading into the one that you shuffle your deck randomly.
Oh, Inevitable or Indomitable Creativity, or not in Creativity.
I can't think of that card's name either.
The Chaos one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember.
That was the first time I ever played against you playing that.
Oh,
deck.
I thought I was playing the...
Fuck, you might be right, actually.
I thought I was playing the Rhinos deck.
I think you're right now that you say that.
Yeah, I was playing the Yorion Rhinos deck, uh-huh. And...
Mason Clark was playing...
Yes.
That, I think. Okay.
So anyways, I, at that point, had boarded into... Or had boarded out all my Rhinos and boarded in... Core Firewalker, because yeah. That was the technology that Doomwake had come up with, yep. In the Yorinos deck, and I had put all three into play, lost, and was just tilted off the planet. I'm like, I can't even win with having three of these in play.
Yeah,
what
were,
is going on?
You were losing
I was losing
there.
My mind.
First impression's great. Thomas, I don't know how... How did we meet? You said we played
it was at one of these weekly events at the Cave. It was Modern because you were playing like four color Yorion control.
As I just
like,
tend to play the companions until they get banned.
Yeah.
And that time with Lurrus and Yorion.
I think I would have
You were playing Hammer. I must have been playing Hammer. Yeah, because I handed you Hammer.
Yeah. I think it was just like a week later. I do remember this. Yes, yeah, because like we were chatting. You said like you're new to town or whatever.
Yeah.
And then shortly after, I was putting together I was inviting a couple people over to my to the common area of my apartment complex to like practice
that store championship that I went 0-4
in. To practice for the whatever event was like coming up, and I thought of Cameron. He was like, well, he was chill and he said he's new to town and you know he doesn't really know many people, so I invited Cameron over
and Hippo was there.
Yep, James was there, and a couple other people were there as well, and
I think after that you invited me to
before that is we did go to the Tuesday night thing. The Tuesday night thing happened before.
Oh yeah,
the infamous Tuesday night RCQ. This was a Friday. This was on a Friday
because the first one was a Friday.
The first one was a Friday.
Oh yeah, it turns into the Tuesday night. Yeah,
okay,
this is
so it is me, Thomas, our buddy Andy, or Andy Habermel, and Cameron, yeah. And it is like approximately a million degrees outside.
Yeah.
A million degrees.
Then
inside.
That was the biggest event I played in after the cave.
Yeah, and
which
then,
is hilarious.
And wow, what a brutal time! Because
and you made top four.
You did make top four.
I lost in top eight.
And then
made a bad block.
Then the next day or that night, we drove back from the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. Thomas stayed with me. You went home delirious and tired.
I'm sure I was wide awake. I did not have a job at that point.
Affair.
I was probably up for another 4 hours after.
So anyways, then we decide to go to this another RCQ the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
This is where I lose in the finals because
I didn't go to that.
Yeah,
you did.
Oh, I lost in that.
You did. You were playing four color control.
Yeah, as did half that
room.
Yeah,
and
I feasted
upon it. It was great.
That day was rough for me.
Yes, it was. And then you and I
and Austin got Chipotle after that.
Yeah, you all left
Chipotle after that.
Triple layoff?
Chipotle.
Oh, we did. Yeah, I do remember
that. Austin was like, I don't want to hang around. Goodbye.
Yeah, bye. I'm like, okay.
And I was like, okay. Bye. And then I had to get a ride back with Drew and Devin.
Then at some point we go to Card Monster Con.
That was after.
Card Monster Con. Mm-hmm. This is in Knoxville. I only knew you out of the group.
Yes.
It was like me, you,
Devin.
Jamie, Devin, Drew.
Yeah.
That was my first time meeting Jamie, Devin, and Drew. And
Bob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Bob, duh. And don't really see Jamie and Bob that much, but like really good friends with Drew and Devin now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the night where Devin said, I'll go lay naked with Drew. Hippo's like,
are we
you
talking
won't.
About
that? Yes. And
oh, God.
It's an
so
origin
I'm
story.
Sleeping on an air mattress. I've known this man for 3 hours, maybe. And so Devin is clothed, walks around my air mattress. I'm laying on the ground. And so I look at him. He's clothed. He walks behind me.
Hold on.
No, I said already. He's clothed because you said you won't.
Yes.
And
Devin's like,
all right. He's clothed. He walks behind me. I turn my head to see him after he's done walking behind me. And then he's fully butt naked. By the time he is in vision of me just walking around me, he walks into Drew's room and you hear Drew like, ah, fuck, get the fuck out of here. Just freaking out in there. That was good.
And then, and then that was your 17th place in your 10K.
Yeah. Was it at 10K?
Yeah, it was 10K. Or was it 20? Was it 20K?
I don't remember.
I don't remember any of
that. I missed cash.
It was a big,
I know.
Yeah, you missed cash by one place.
Yeah. But I was still stoked. I didn't even care.
Yeah, we were very much rooting for you because you were like, started off the day like you had not had a good start to your day.
No,
and then
I
it like
I do remember that.
Really turned around.
I was playing Grease Fang,
yeah, and
too.
You really turned it around like the second half of the day, and you like really fought back for it.
Wild. Some good wild times.
Good times, good times.
This episode's going to be like 3 hours long, Jesus.
No, it's okay.
How about the origin story?
What about the origin story of the podcast? Let's do that one, and we'll do one more after.
Oh, we have more? Yeah. Holy fuck! I thought those were the last ones!
No, we'll do one more after we talk about the origin story of the podcast.
Food that you wish you could eat? Okay, sorry, but origin story of the podcast. I think I've had an idea in my head that I want to make content, period.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think specifically we had, like, between probably I guess the three of us at any point, you'd just been like, it would be fun to make Popper content because we just both enjoyed
because us three are good friends at this point.
Yeah,
and I'm like, we always talk about Popper. Like, we before monthlies, we're always like, oh shit, what are we on? What are you playing? We'd always keep it secret for each other, except for Thomas, he was a mono red. And I just came up to both of you. I'm like, you guys want to start a Popper podcast? And you're like, yeah, I think both of you were just down. I'm like, sick, let's do it. I think that was in like December.
Sometime.
November, because episode two was the day after my birthday.
We probably talked about it for a little while before we, like, talked about it at least for like a couple months for sure before we actually like
pulled the trigger and
made it happen.
Yeah.
I feel like we relatively didn't procrastinate too much though.
Not too terribly badly. Which is cool. Like, kind of got it off the ground pretty quickly.
Yeah. Cool. I wanna do one more question here because we're going long and we'll probably have to skip the challenges this week.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll like mention the winners.
No. We'll get them next time.
We'll get you next time. Challenges. this one's for us.
Popper Dex won.
All right. Popper Dex won. This will be our last question. Thanks for sticking with us, fam. Last one also from Jay. If you could downshift one card, what would it be? And why?
Esperzoa. 2 and a blue, 4/3 flying artifact creature. At the beginning of your upkeep, return an artifact to your hand. And so it synergizes. You get it? It synergizes so good with everything. Core Skyfisher already synergizes. But you get to do it at the beginning of every upkeep. So if you bounce synthesizer your hand from this upkeep trigger, trigger synthesizer, and get to play synthesizer, get a trigger, so you just draw 3 cards every turn. And you can do cool stuff like Barb Battle Fist.
I think you need to breathe.
That card's so cool.
That was impressive.
That was good.
That was impressive?
That was impressive.
That doesn't concern you or alarm you?
No, you're a passionate man. Yeah. No, it's good. Do you have a thought?
But Esperzoa.
Yeah.
So... obviously, this is, I'll keep it within reason, because I'm just put any card in the format. No, I think there are two. One is a no-go for sure, because it's just too good. It's the best removal spell ever printed of all time, so there's no way. I would love...
Swords?
Swords is an uncommon.
Get out of here.
Yeah, as I said, that's not real. That's not real as much as I would love it. Yeah. The actual real answer I have is I'm going to give Flicker Wisp.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Flicker Wisp.
I like that.
So for those who don't know, Flicker Wisp is 1 white-white for a 3/1 flying elemental. It says when Flicker Wisp enters the battlefield, you may exile target permanent until the next end step. So there's some cool things.
Then returns to the battlefield.
Then it returns to the battlefield. So there's some cool cheeky things you can, lots of cheeky things you can do with it. I know I mentioned Aether Vial earlier. That's probably the most disgusting card with in combination with Flicker Wisp. Bounce lands?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm saying just in my realm of playing Death and Taxes for however long I've played, Flicker Wisp has done some absolutely vile and disgusting things. I would choose Flicker Wisp.
Flicker Wisp is sick.
It's a sick
card. I would like Flicker Wisp.
If we both chosen 3-mana flyers. Yeah. Would you like to also choose a 3-mana flyer?
Well, no, 3-mana no, flyer, no. I'm going to choose
2-mana card. But we were talking beforehand of just like something I really want in this format, of course, as the mono-red player, is something that stops players from being able to gain life. And unfortunately, like, we couldn't really come up with, like, we were talking about, like, Rampaging Ferocidon beforehand, but, like, that's probably...
just tired
if it gets a downshift, then maybe it gets downshifted uncommon, yeah, but that is, like, that's definitely, like, a rare level card. So I couldn't really think of anything. So I was thinking about this during work today, and the coolest answer that I came up with, I think would be powerful but not broken, is Young Pyromancer. Because we have Murmuring Mystic at 4 mana that makes flying tokens. Why not have Pyromancer, which is much easier to kill, way easier to kill, and just makes a bunch of tokens that just stick around. Like, it is a very powerful choice. It's a very powerful choice to put in the format, but it would give red decks another angle to build towards, and maybe it makes, like, a blue, maybe, like, the blue-red terror decks lean into that, and they get
it
to,
would.
Yeah, they get to have, like, some more defensive stuff going on. And
that's an old favorite that doesn't really have a home anymore.
Yeah. Too,
so I like that.
And a lot of decks. Like, there's a chance it's too powerful. Yeah, there's a chance it's too powerful. Too good.
Banif is.
Sure. But, like, I think that's my answer. I think that would be super cool to have Peasy in the format.
Pyromancer's cool. Cool card. Yeah.
Holy hell, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. We got
you
a few
are a
more.
Trooper. Yeah, yeah. A real number one fan.
For realsies. We got a few more in the bag. We'll keep them in the bag. Maybe we'll try to do this every 20 episodes or so.
We can.
Well, also, hold on. Thank you, Jay, for your kind words at the bottom of your
email. Yeah.
Thank you, Jay.
Keep up the great work, guys. Always look forward to listening to you every week. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions or DM'd us on Discord or Twitter or anything. Like
thank you all for listening.
It's really, really, really humbling that there are a number of you out there who listen
monthly
every week.
Really cool.
Monthly. Yeah, we put up monthly. They just listen to all four at once.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's a lot more motivational doing it every week when people are listening to it versus like it'd be a little like oh man. We only got four listens, and I was one of them for sure, you know, but like, so it's really cool that people are listening and people have kind words to say and all that fun stuff. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I agree. Thank you very much for everyone for listening and taking a ride on this journey with us.
Very fun. We'll be back next week with Rectangle Theory.
Oh, good. Well. No. Actually, if we're going to do some deep dive, something like that. We owe the tempo episode.
Oh my god!
We still got to do the synthesizer episode.
We've also got to do synthesizer episode.
Well, right. we'll have
we've
some, fun.
Some. We've got some so in the bag.
You at least have like three or four more episodes before we run out of ideas.
I don't think we're.
Yeah, that's it. 24 and we're done.
We'll right. do set reviews like every other podcast.
Good lord!
I know we just did one.
Well, they do come out at a frequency. Sets do come out at a frequency, which we could almost do.
The Modern Horizons.
Oh,
will be fun.
I'm excited to talk. That's very a set review. I'm very looking forward comments. To. I like looking for. I like re-listing the old MH2 set reviews.
Ooh.
Like you had no idea.
But yeah,
fun.
But yeah.
Thank you all so much again for listening. If you got any questions if you got more questions for us, send them to, that is my email, commonground@gmail.com, and we'll try to get to them on air when we can, maybe in a future episode, maybe if we get like a cool topic idea, we'll do a whole episode about it as we have done in the past.
Yeah.
Made it this far again. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Give us a rating, leave a comment.
No,
a
five stars. You weren't going to say it. No, five stars.
Five stars, please.
Five stars. Five stars, little man. Put them stars in my hand.
If you like it, let us know. Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, everyone.
Once you get past like 28, you really start to recognize that seltzer has true medicinal qualities, and the more carbonation, the better,
seltzer.
My guy.